You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Eye on the Ball. I'm Steve Rivera, and you're listening to 1030 The Voice. Have a busy, busy day today. I always say this every day when I come in, but this is true to form. Today we're going to talk to a few people, hopefully talk to some of these Sports Hall of Fame people, the one that just happened yesterday, the Pima County Sports Hall of Fame. Patsy Lee in about 15 minutes, about 10 minutes actually, about 6:15. Oh, no, that's not true. Bill Fields at 6:15, Patsy Lee about 6:30, and we're still trying to reach out to Abdi Rahman, the former U of A track star, / Boston Marathon guy, / Olympian. So we're trying to track these guys down and see what we have here.
He of the long legs,
he of the skinny,
distance runner.
Skinny guy. Done really well for himself. He has. Do you know who I'm talking about? Do you know him at all, his story?
I have. Well, I don't. Yeah. I mean, I've seen news stories on him. When he was involved with track and field here at Arizona.
Because he went to Pima and then went to U of A and had nothing and all of became somebody all of a sudden.
Did he try out for the U.S. Olympic team?
Yeah. Yeah. I think he was on the team.
Okay. Good.
Yeah. I think he was on the team. If I can remember correctly, I was in Greece when I think I saw him because I saw Coach Harvey there. So I'll have to go check. But I think he made the team USA track and field. Yes.
Okay. So you're trying to get a hold of him. Hopefully we'll have
right.
him on later.
I called him and I texted him and we'll see what happens. He's from Somalia. That's where he grew up and moved to Tucson, went to Pima. And he's 5'11", 130. I used to be that when I was like 10th grade.
That's an easier frame to carry over a long distance.
No duh.
Yes.
All these guys do that, the skinny guys. When you're running 100,000 miles, you don't have time to eat. Unless you're stopping at a fast food, going through the drive-thru and say, hey, give me something real quick, I got to run.
So give me them ligaments and them lean muscles and only 130 pounds to tote around.
130 pounds, man.
Sounds like the lyrics of a song.
Let me see. How old was I? About 15. That was like a long time ago. That's why I got my nickname. Skinny. I don't miss those days. I don't miss those days.
Seriously? They called you skinny?
Oh, they called me something. In Spanish, they called me skinny.
All right.
Yeah, my dad and I. So that's cool. We get these guys, Patsy Lee at 6:30, Bill Fields at 6:15. Bill will be calling us, and then Abdi Rahman at 6:45. Busy night here on the old radio pitch. I want to say on the pitch, but on the radio. No football game still this weekend. Arizona is, guess what will happen this weekend?
Arizona's not playing football this weekend.
They will not lose this weekend.
No. Okay. All right. There we go. Thank you, sir. But it's Thursday night. Is the NFL still scheduling games on Thursday night?
Yes.
Who do we have?
They're playing probably as we speak.
Yeah, there's probably a game going on right now. Mm-hmm. Now, I know the Cardinals have played one or two Thursday night games.
Yeah, they play Sunday against horrible Carolina. I'm checking the old interweb to find out who they play. Our server here is a little slow here. Get somebody on that, Tom.
Let's go surfing now. Everybody's learning how. Okay. You want me to see if I can find anything on NFL?
Yeah, why not? Well, it's going there now. And finally, took about 12 hours.
Oh, you got it.
Well, I'm waiting for it still, but yeah. Jaguars and the Titans. Jaguars 14, Tennessee 0.
So it's Jaguars for you?
I don't really care. Those two bad teams.
I know in England they say Jaguar.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where that came from. I've always known it as Jaguar.
Jaguar, me too.
So.
Me too. Did you see that Jason Terry is now a GM at the G League?
Yeah, tell us about that. What is the G League?
Is there the G League team for the Dallas Mavericks?
Okay.
He lives in Dallas. Obviously played for the Mavericks for a long time. His little girls play basketball.
I think you instructed me once on what G was all about.
G stands for Gatorade.
Oh.
It used to be the D-League.
That's right. Gatorade.
It used to be the D-League. Now it's the G-League.
Because I was saying, well, where's the A, the B, the C, the D? Where's all them leagues? Yeah. No, there no. Those leagues don't exist.
Don't ask me why the star is on the Dallas helmet either.
Oh, come on. You know why. Come on.
If you don't know about the G League, I'm not going to explain it here.
All you have to do is look at the Texas State flag, and you'll know why they have a star on the Dallas Cowboys helmet.
That'll be my explanations here.
That's what the explanation is.
Yes, yes. So,
at least as far as I know. I mean, if anybody wants to enlighten us, or enlighten me in particular, 790-2040 is the number, 790-2040.
Yeah, Bill Fields will be calling at 6:15. He used to be the president. He might still be the president of the Challenger Little League here in town. ELT, too, was inducted yesterday. Very long career with that. I know his son was a participant in that. So we'll talk about that and what it means to him. And it's a nice prestigious award here in Pima County. Anybody wants to call in, 790-2040. In fact, that might be him. We'll see. Oh, you know what we need to do while we talk? Maybe have, so we still have tickets for the FC Tucson game this weekend. So maybe we do that. Oh, that is him. See, I knew it. And we'll take his call once Tom stops making dinner reservations for him or doing whatever they do on the phone. Yeah, we got Bill on the phone. Bill, how are you? Good. Thanks for calling in.
Steve, I'm good. How are you?
Fine, thank you. So the new fresh inductee into the Pima County Sports Hall of Fame, how does it feel?
Well, it's surprising. It feels great. I'm honored to be a part of that group. But I went to the press conference the other day, and, of course, there was All-Americans and all of this, and so I'm happy to be a part of it.
Mm-hmm. The reason you were inducted into you used to be, or you still are the president of the Challenger Little League?
I was the president for a period of time. Right now I'm the assistant district administrator for the Challenger program.
Okay. How long were you president?
Really, this is going to be our 30th anniversary. I was really only president for about 3 years, and that was in our first couple years.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, I just followed up with being on the board and a coach and being involved.
I know it's near and dear to you. I've been with you a few times when all these games were being played and practices. Tell me how you are involved or how you got involved initially.
My son was born with a developmental disability. I had always played sports. My other kids had played youth sports. Both my daughters played softball, and my son was a golfer at Foyn Wells. And I loved it. I loved everything about youth sports. I loved getting together at the snack bar and all that stuff. And I was hoping there'd be something for my son. And along came Challenger Little League. He was about 8 or 9. And so I showed up down at the park with 30 or 40 other parents that were all trying to figure out how this was going to work, and we went from there.
Mm-hmm. And he was in it for a long time.
Oh, yeah. He was in it till he was 21. You couldn't be in it past that in Little League. And then that's when we decided we had such a group of kids that were aging out that we then tied ourselves up with Special Olympics and created the softball teams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but back in the day, too, this is a few years back. I think I was still with the paper at the time. They did really well. They went to, like, the World Series or whatever the thing is for them?
Yes. We traveled quite a bit back in the day. There was a jamboree held every year in Virginia Beach, and it was labeled the world's largest Challenger Jamboree, and they'd get a couple hundred teams, primarily from the East Coast or Midwest, and so we had heard about it, and I called the guy who was running the program, running it, and I said, you know, we're out in Arizona, and you know, we'd really like to come to this, and he said, well, gee, we can't pay for you. And I said, well, I understand that. I said, we'll raise some money if we can get there, And he was great. Got to meet him. Jay Cardenson was his name, just a real advocate for Little League and kids with disabilities. And so we got a team together and got on a plane and flew back to Washington, D.C. and visited with our congressman and then drove to Virginia Beach. And it was quite an experience. We did that about three or four times.
Right. And didn't you do really well?
Oh yeah, we did real well. We had a mix of athletes, different abilities, and we did have this one young man that was a pretty talented player. And we were playing on 200-foot Little League fields, and he hit a ball over the fence, and I think everybody there was like, "Wow, look at this kid!" So it was quite a deal. We were really welcomed back there. You know, Arizona, boy, you've come a long way. And so it was very, very good.
I'm sure that thing has changed a lot. If Arizona was the furthest west team, I'm sure that more teams from this part of the country go more often.
Absolutely. Not only that, but other parts of the country took that model and started creating their own jamborees. Like, I know there's a big one in Texas now, and there's a big one which we also attended a few years later up in the San Francisco area. And so we went up to that one, and great experiences. I mean, youth sports is, as they say, the cliche is that they do more than just play baseball. You know, there's training for life is part of what goes on there. And so with the travel and on the airplanes and eating in the restaurants and staying in the hotels and meeting other people, a great experience for these kids.
Sure, sure. And memories of a lifetime, obviously, when you're that age.
Absolutely.
It's even for the parents. I mean, come on, you guys have great experiences with the kids.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you mention the parents, when you're a parent, and you have a son or daughter with a disabilities, you don't have somebody down the street that you can kind of chat back and forth with about how their kids are doing and everything. Mm-hmm. So what this really brought together for the parents is that they had a place they could go, sit in the stands, you know, talk about school, talk about doctors, talk about whatever they want to, or not talk about any of that stuff if they don't want to. And that was one of the things that really developed out of it, was a great bunch of parents that were all into it and passionate about it. And they still are. I guess I'm thinking back on my years there, but great program for the whole family.
Let me before we could take a break, let me also say that you've done really well with your son, because I see him everywhere. I live on the northwest side, and I know he's worked up in that area. And I don't want to embarrass him by saying, "Oh, I know Bill. I know your dad." I kind of watch him. He was at the northwest side working there. I don't know if he still does, but it wasn't too long ago.
No, he's at Walmart. He's actually been there since he graduated from high school. He's worked at that Foothills Walmart for 20 years now.
Oh, really?
It's hard to believe.
Wow. Wow. How old is he?
Oh, he's 38.
You're joking. No.
No, he's 38. We're 10 years old is when he started playing Challenger. And he's 38.
Wow, wow, wow.
Now, I'm much younger, but that's just the way it works.
I was going to say maybe 25. Holy moly. Let's take a break. We'll talk more about that. And you've been a longtime Arizona fan, because we go to lunch sometimes and we ask them, what's going on with that team out there? I said, sorry, Bill, I can't tell you.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk a little bit more. Maybe I could be more candid. We'll take a break here on 1030 Voice and come back with Bill Fields. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera, your host, and on the phone we have Bill Fields, a former president of the Challenger Little League, now an administrator with them. So tell me, today, I'm sure they had like easels up there at the press conference yesterday, and you probably walked around and saw who else was being inducted, or did you see some past people as well?
Well, all the inductees were there yesterday, and they gave a brief little talk about, or they were kind of interviewed about their involvement and how they were being honored. And so, yeah, I saw that, and they had a few of the posters up there, or the easels. Quite an impressive group.
I was going to say, who were you most impressed with?
Well, there was a young man, and I know his last name's Titus. I don't know it. He was a swimmer, deaf athlete that went on to be All-American and set some records and everything. And, of course, that was interesting to me. I was impressed with the Tucson High basketball team that kind of got into a who was better, the team of Delano Price or theirs. That was funny. So, I mean, they were all, you know, very impressive with what they've done.
Sure, sure. But you didn't see any, I guess at the dinner you guys will probably be, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I didn't really see anybody there other than those inductees.
Those guys.
Those that were there. Not everybody was able to make it. Some of them were out of town.
Yeah, no, but I guess when you see the dinner, you'll see how impressive the entire list of former athletes in this town or administrators is. Do you kind of know who's in there? Because they it's like a who's who.
It absolutely is. Of course, when I was informed of this, I got on their website and they list everybody in there. And I grew up here in Tucson, so you know, people that were inducted and had, you know, back from the 50s, 60s. I mean, I knew of all those people, and it is a who's who. It really is.
Right, right. So now that we have you just for a few more minutes, you've been in Tucson, I think, all your life, right? You're a native?
Yep, I'm native. Yep.
So tell me, your love for basketball or football more?
Oh, you know,
U of A.
Yeah. God, it's hard to say. I love going to the football games. I like the experience of that. And obviously love what the basketball team has done. So, I'm going to call it even.
so maybe some of your great football moments first, and you got about 5 minutes, so first, and then maybe some of your basketball moments.
Well, Chuck Cecil was great when he intercepted that pass.
Did you meet him today?
I did not meet him. No, but what were you saying? Some of the great memories of the Wildcat football? Yeah, of course, his interception. And, used to go to the Knothole group there, so we were just kids when we used to go and watch the games. And I saw all those guys, and we had season basketball tickets for 25 years or so, and so there's been just a bunch of them. Yeah.
What about basketball?
I think the neatest thing of basketball was in those early years when Olsen came out, and I think we beat Washington and USC and UCLA kind of in a row or something, and I remember how impressed I was with Washington. I think it was Detlef Schrempf and those teams back there, and we beat them, and that was pretty exciting stuff then, because we weren't supposed to.
I would assume that you probably were there for the opening of McHale in 73-ish?
Yep, absolutely, yeah.
How was that, and watching Coach Snowden, and then, transition from Larson to Snowden?
Well, of course, growing up, been to Bear Down many times, used to sit there and watch the games, and of course it was a whole different brand of basketball. Some unbelievable talent that Snowden had. It just raised the bar, and I was hooked then,
Right, of course, and then Lute shows up eventually, and the disaster that was the coach before Lute, and we won't even talk about it,
but then the
national title game. Did you ever think that would happen here in Tucson?
Well, I hoped it would. I mean, we were inching our way up, and competing at a higher level and everything, but. I guess being in Tucson, a little bit of pessimist in me that no, it'll never happen to us, but it did, and so that was great.
Right, right. What do you think about the situation now? Sean's done a pretty good job of getting these guys good. Now we just need to make that one more step.
Exactly. Yeah. He does, and he's got a young team again. I'd like to see some teams that maybe it just doesn't happen anymore. I'd like to see some juniors and seniors there.
Sure, you and everybody else.
Yeah. So you hope for the best, and he's got some great talent. So who's to say? I wouldn't. If when it does happen again, I don't think I'll be surprised. So.
Right, right. Well, he knocked on the door a couple of times with the Elite Eights. Now he just needs to get lucky. Lute used to say, you know, got to stay healthy, got to get lucky. He just hasn't found that luck yet. And now the NCAA could loom. We'll see what happens with that.
Yeah, for sure.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, Bill, congratulations again. Good to talk to you. And be safe. Next time I see your son, I'll say, yeah, I know your dad. I finally wanted to say hello.
Say hi to him.
Yes, I will. Thank you, Bill.
Steve.
Take care.
Thank
Congrats
you.
Again. Appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you. Bye.
Yes, that was Bill Fields, a friend of mine from a long time. Congratulations in the Pima County Sports Hall of Fame induction yesterday, or at least the press conference yesterday. So congrats. We'll talk to Patsy Lee on the other side here, one of the former coaches in golf, I think, in basketball and all that. So here we are. Take a break here on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera, and now we're going to back to the line, talk to another sports figure here for the Hall of Fame, the Pima County Hall of Fame, Patsy Lee. How are you, Patsy?
Great, Steve.
Congratulations on your nice award. How do you feel about it?
I'm kind of excited. As a little kid, I always wanted to get into Cooperstown, so I guess this is the closest I'm going to get.
You are well-deserved, too. Let me tell you, what sport did you not coach? You coached a bunch.
Well, actually, I'm a team sport girl, so I went from volleyball to basketball, boys and girls, and softball. But I had to do track and field, not by my choice. In the 70s, when I was a volleyball coach, they took it away from me because if you were not coaching and you were a high school PE teacher, they transferred you to junior high. So because it was only my second year, they said, Patsy, if you want to keep this teaching job at Tucson High, you'll be coaching track and field. And I went, track and field? So that's how I ended up coaching track and field outside of team sports.
And golf as well, correct?
Golf now, because after I retired, I started to take golf lessons, and I am helping with the LPGA girls golf, and that's why I'm helping with girls golf now.
You, Bo Jackson has nothing on you, Patsy Lee. Multi-sport.
I wish I could have played football. See, I got a story to tell. You know, I'm a good friend with Coach Todd Mayfield.
Yes.
And Charlie Cook got me to coach the boys' freshman basketball. So Pat goes, okay, Patsy, you're on campus. I want you to coach the boys' freshman football. And I go, well, I'll give it a try. Well, guess what, Steve? I only lasted 2 days. I could not handle the locker room smell. 2 days in a row, I vomited. And I said, Todd, I cannot do this. But that was my try in football.
That's very funny. That's very funny. So the one sport that you could not handle was football. I understood that until the smell of the guys
in the locker room.
Yes.
And
no.
I wouldn't be that true coach, you know, coaching girls sports. We used to have to take the kids' uniforms home and wash it.
Yes.
And Tom says, you're going to take 65 knee pads and shoulder pads and uniforms home. I go, oh, I guess not.
Right, right, right. In fact, Sean Harris sweared by you in terms of you were one of the best coaches he's ever had.
Well, Sean's just a great kid because I bought a lot of lunches for him. That's another good story.
Right, right. And in fact, he too was inducted alongside you mentioned yesterday.
I mean, me making it, I was prouder for him making it.
Mm-hmm. Well, he was...
He's a kid from the projects here.
Yeah.
And he could have failed. He could have been into drugs, could have been in jail. But he ended up being a great guy.
Super.
Great
I mean, yeah,
father.
He went to Utah, I mean, played at U of A, and then played in the NFL for a while.
Yes. And I became a Chicago Bears because of Sean.
Right, right. Which was your favorite sport?
To coach or to play?
Both. Answer both.
Okay, to coach, probably volleyball, because I started with volleyball. Probably to play now is golf, but I love playing basketball. Steve, you know, I actually started when we played six-man basketball, the women, and it wasn't to when I got to U of A, they said, guess what, you're going to play five-man. I go, whoa, I was always on the defensive end. I didn't even know how to shoot a basketball. So that was pretty neat for me to convert from six-man basketball to five-man when I got to U of A.
Wow. You're kind of dating yourself there. But
Yeah, I know. But that's what happened.
Yes. No, that's fantastic. So you're still active, obviously, besides golf. What else do you do? Do you play anything else?
No. Actually, my other big volunteer job is here. I'm actually here at the Tucson Chinese Culture Center. I am the senior program director for the lunch on Thursday.
Oh, okay.
So when I'm not golfing or after golf, I'm busy shopping for groceries for the menu for today.
Let me ask you something, because I ask this of all competitors and all athletes that have kind of come and gone and still kind of out there lingering. You must, and that's probably why you play golf, you must love competition.
I do. My lady golfer says, "What's wrong with you, Pat?" The other day we played match play, and we played four ball. I was so angry because my partner and I lost. She goes, "Easy, Patsy, just a game." I'm competitive.
Yeah, no, that's like Rich Rod and some of the other guys. If it's a game, they shouldn't keep score.
That's right.
Yeah. I don't want to give your age, but you've had a fantastic life when it comes to athletics. Because are you a native? You're not. I know you're not a native because you were.
Yes, I am.
You
are born and raised Tucsonian.
Oh,
yes.
Okay. That's
St. Mary's Hospital.
Wow. So the stories you could tell in this town. There's a lot of.
Yes. Well, I grew up in Body of Hollywood, and I still live there. I inherit my parents' old grocery store, so I live behind it.
Nice. Did you, how long did you teach? I want to say more than 30 years?
Exactly 30 years, because I was one of those lucky ones that got the buyout.
Oh.
That was exactly my 30th year.
Mm-hmm.
And what I did was I stayed at Palo Verde. I substituted the next 8 years, and I coached for 10 more years. So I coached for 40 years, but only taught for 30 years.
How this is a dumb question because we've all gotten older, but, and I ask this of coaches as well, how do kids rate today compared to the other kids in terms of wanting to be coached?
God, when I left Tucson High, because I returned to Tucson High about 5 years ago, It's totally different. I think I thought it was tough in the 70s when I had to coach in 2012. It was tougher because the kids are more athletic and they kind of act like they know the sport.
Mm-hmm.
So they kind of it's you know, the younger kids in the 70s were hungry. You know, they just came from the streets. They didn't have, maybe they had Little League, and you see, they didn't have bobby socks in my days, you know,
sure.
In the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
So these girls are in softball. They grow up in bobby socks. They play all summer. The boys have ASA basketball. The kids in football have summer league. So the kids think they know more than their high school coach, especially I have a problem with club coaches. Club coaches forget that we're actually educators, and to me, my athlete is a student athlete and just not an athlete. And it just angers the kids when I say, you're going to have to pass your class to play, or for my level, you're going to have to be C students, because I truly believe a good student makes a good athlete.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. How was it coaching the guys back in the day?
Oh, kind of scary for me. I was not ready. I'm pretty prepared. I have lesson plans, and I did girls for like six straight years. And I took my first day lessons, and Coach Cook comes out and says, "How'd it go?" I said, "Oh, the boys went past my first five lessons." You know, in girls, when I started, it's like learning to walk and dribble and use your left and right hands. When I had the freshman boys, it was like, "Coach, they know how to dribble already." So it was, for me, a lesson that first year.
Well, you know.
Actually, yeah, they came more prepared than a girl in my basketball.
Well, you kind of were part of the John Wooden approach. You know, when he had his first couple of practice, he sat him down. This is how you put on your socks. This is how you put on your shoes. This is how you tie them.
Yeah, and they looked at me. I had, you know, beginning drills. This is how, what angle, what level of the ball. And the kids are looking at me, "Coach, we know how to dribble." I go, "No, not my way.
So how many, at the end of the day, how many state titles or how many championships did you get to?
I got to none, but I sat on the bench for many. I think I sat on the bench with Coach Cook. Probably we went to three Final Fours. I sat at Camelina High with Coach Gary Liebeck. I remember the one. We got really close. David Jin, I think three of them with David Jin and Tim DeMarchi.
Mm-hmm.
In volleyball, not too many, but we got to state playoffs. And, you know, Phoenix kids are so good in volleyball. We would always get eliminated, but we were just so excited to make it to state in volleyball.
Yeah, yeah. Let me close with this couple of quick questions. Who was the best male athlete you saw and female athlete you saw?
Male athlete, I can't say because I love Sean. Sean could play football and basketball. Ralph Sarate, football, basketball.
Yeah, he was a heck of a football player.
True basketball player, David Vann, Val Hill, Eric Langford. They're one-dimensional. I love the athlete. I love that young man that could play two sports, or that young lady that can play three sports for the girls.
Mm-hmm. Who was girl? Who was the girl that was really impressive?
Let me tell you, Kim Hutterford. She ran straight track, and she was our star volleyball player. Rashada Jeffries, she was basketball and volleyball. Trina Bennett, basketball, volleyball. I mean, I can't remember her last name. Rivera. I can't remember. She played volleyball, basketball, and softball.
Mm-hmm.
40 years, Steve, you're asking me.
I figure some of those names came off the top of your head, and they did.
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
I mean,
yes, yes.
These were really good athletes in their one sport.
Right.
But I've many girls, because you got to remember, girls, we have to share them. We didn't have like 100 athlete girls to pick from, so we almost had the same girl in volleyball, basketball, and softball.
Right, right. Well, Patsy, thanks for joining me on the show. I appreciate it. Congratulations on your honor.
Thank you, Steve.
Good luck. Take care.
Okay, you too.
Bye-bye. Thank you very much. Bye-bye. Let's take a quick break here on 1030 The Voice. We're going to come back on the other side with Abdi Abdirahman, one of the legends on the track and field with here at U of A and beyond. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera, and now on the phone we have Abdi Abdirahman. How are you, Abdi?
Well, I'm doing good, Steve. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Good to hear from you, and congratulations on another great award. You must have a room full of trophies.
I've been running for over 20 years, so it's kind of, that's true, actually.
Yes. How was this one, getting this one, being known for one of the best athletes here in Tucson and Pima County?
It's an honor. You know, I grew up in Tucson, and that's where all my career began, you know, as a young man, just moving, coming from Somalia, coming to Tucson, becoming a four-time Olympian, and then also be recognized in your own city is an honor.
Yes. You still look like you're like 25 and can run forever.
I'm young and hard, so age is just a number. You know, that's what I believe. So just, you know, if you think you're old, you're old. You know, if you believe you're still young and you still can do it, why not?
Right, right. You started at Pima, correct?
Yes, I started at Pima Community College. Yes, that's where all my running career began.
Yeah, so let me ask you. I think it was like a surprise. You show up at Pima, and all of a sudden you're this guy who could just run forever, and you had this great career there.
Yeah, I definitely remember, you know, just a lot of the way my career started was like a lot of my friends used to do sports, and after classes, everybody would go to practice, and I would be only the guy who left in the cafeteria. So, you know, I decided to do sports. I wasn't good at the, you know, team sports, so, and I saw a lot of the guys running, and I say, if that guy can run, you know, I can do it too. So that's how my career, and I joined the team one day, and you know, I was second on the team. My first practice, 5 mile run. One of my friends beat me, John Lancer. He's the principal of Empire Theater now. He's the one who beat me, and that was the beginning of my career.
You didn't know you had that in you until then?
No, actually, I didn't know exactly. But I thought I was gonna you know, I thought I was going to be dead last. I didn't even like running. I like walking, just jogging around, but not competition-wise.
Sure, sure. And then you surprised yourself with the second place. And then what, did you fall in love with it? You must have fallen in love with it early.
When I finished second place, I remember the coach gave me a pair of shoes and he gave me the orange Pima. I don't know if you remember Pima orange.
Yes.
Orange uniform, the jumpsuit, so, and a brand new pair of shoes. So that was just, that was good enough to motivate me, you know, just get, at that time, like the shoe he gave me was $150. And just the first year, just get out of high school, wearing $150 shoes was just amazing itself. So,
right, right, and then from there, you guys just took. Oh, you just took off.
Yep. From there, I remember I went to junior college championships. I finished second in the 5,000 and the third in the 1500 meter. And the U of A coach saw me running around the foothills in Pima Community College. And he said, that guy can run and he can be a good runner. Dave Murray just
yes.
He offered me scholarship. And there on, I transferred to the University of Arizona where I become a multi-year All-American.
Yes. So, yeah, exactly. Your story should be made into a little movie because you came here not knowing and then you become this person. You had a great career at U of A. What was maybe one of your two top moments at U of A?
Two top moments at the U of A was actually, you know, just was finishing second at the cross-country championships in, I think it was 98. Yeah, that getting to Adam Goucher and, you know, just, and I didn't know at that time, but I remember Adam Goucher was a great athlete, was a great runner, and just at that time, I didn't know what the rivalry was, who's beating who, you know, who was the favorite, but At the end of my career, I read the book about running with the Buffaloes, and I just saw my name coming up multiple times. And I just found out that Adam Goucher was his target, and, you know, I was the threat to his national championship. But he knew that, but I didn't know, so it was kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. And I think I run at that farm, like Rimrock Farm in Arkansas. That's where I ran my best race. And I think he beat me at the last 400 meter. I remember I was sprinting. So that was one of my actual best races. I enjoyed. I remember just taking up the race lead all the way until the last 400 meter.
Right, right. And then you went to the Olympics two or three times.
I went to the Olympics four times.
Four times. Because I remember seeing you, I think, in Greece, maybe Australia. I can't remember now.
Yes. Yes, yes. I was in Athens, Greece. I was in Australia and Beijing. And also I was in London and in the 2016 Olympics due to injury.
Yes, yes. Are you still planning to continue?
I'm planning, you know, that's my main goal. You know, we are like a few months away from the Olympic trials and the marathon, which is going to be held in Atlanta. So I'm shooting for it. You know, nothing's guaranteed. We have to run the trials on top three goals, and I think I have as good a chance as anyone who's running the trials, so why not? I'm going to give it a shot.
How old are you? About 42, maybe?
I'm 42 now, yeah.
Good guess by me, I guess. So what age do people like you, in terms of runners, peak? Or is there a number?
You know, the runners usually peak like 30s, like late 20s, 30s. So, you know, I'm just one of those guys just still running. You know, I love running. I enjoy running. You know, I don't look at it as a job. You know, I just enjoy running. I love. And sometimes the people say, find something you love to do and you will not have to work a day in your life.
Yes.
But I have to. And hopefully, like I said, but now I'm enjoying it, so that's the way I look at it now.
Yeah, no question.
It's a profession. Yeah.
Yeah, no question. You probably could never have imagined coming from Somalia to Pima that your life would be like this 30 years ago.
Oh, never, never. I never, never, ever thought about it. It wasn't even my wildest dream, you know. Just coming to U.S. itself was an amazing, and it was an honor, it was a privilege, you know, just, you know, and I was one of those lucky people who get to come to U.S. because there's a lot of other people who would love to be in my shoes. And also, you know, for me to become a multi-U.S. Olympian is just, you know, it's just a great thing. And I'm so thankful I get the opportunity.
Yes, yes. So once this is all over, which is maybe 30 years, what do you want to do with your life? Because you, it seems like you've been doing this forever.
You know, there's a lot of things I want to do in life. You know, I do want to help kids. You know, I want to stay involved with the running community. Also, you know, I want to go back home. You know, just give other kids some. The people in my home country, Somaliland, I want to give them an opportunity, you know, just...
Right.
Yeah, it can't be anything, yeah, so...
Do you still have family back there?
Oh, yeah, I do have family. You know, I have a lot of family, you know, just... That's where my roots are. I mean, I have extended family. I have uncle, auntie, you know, just have a lot of people there.
Do you go... When was the last time? Do you go back often?
You know, I haven't... I do go back often now. Actually, like past few years, yeah. The first time I went back was 2016, and I've been back three times since then. So you know, just and I love it. It's just you know, it's amazing.
Oh, I was gonna say you must be like a local hero.
No, I'm like to be honest, those back home people don't care about sports. They're like the few people who know sports do know who I am. But
yes.
Other than that, it's just like you know. But we do have some other legends who from our countries, from small countries, so yeah.
Yeah, so you're just Abdi to them.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just not the people who know about running. I'm the runner, so.
Right, right. Well, whenever I see you at U of A, I make sure I see you. I'd say, man, how do you stay so skinny? Well, you run forever. You run and you run and you run.
Exactly. You know, that's a part of, you know, that's one thing I love running, you know, just I want to, even when I stop running as a professional, I think I want to keep running because one thing I'm afraid of just gaining weight, so.
Right, right. You don't want to look like me, Abdi. Let me tell you, you don't want to look like me.
No, it's okay, man. It's okay. But it's not me, you know, just like I've been like this 40 years, so I don't know any other way.
Right, right. Well, congratulations again. It was great to talk to you. I hope to see you on campus sometime soon.
Well, thank you, Steve. It was nice talking to you, too.
Yes.
Have a great night.
You, too. Thank you very much.
Okay.
That was,
bye.
Yes, that was Abdi Rahman, one of the best track guys in the history of Tucson. Heck, in the United States, he's been to four Olympics, two more than me. So, you know, and he still has another chance to get to number five. Pretty
You've
cool.
been to two Olympics?
Australia and Greece. I didn't play. I just wrote about it. Hey, let's go. We got to go, right?
This yes, is sir.
It. See you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
Friday here on 10:30 The Voice, trusted local news and talk.